inspired. They would consider nothing sacred. That's the devil. He don't consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. That's demonic. To not love people when God said that's the command to love one another. Unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. Well, to slander others, to malign others, to speak falsely against people, that's demonic. They will be cruel and hate what's good. In other words, the Holy Spirit is saying there'll come a time when people will call what's evil good and what's good evil. That's demonic, because that's perversion. They will betray their friends, be reckless, and be puffed up with pride, will love pleasures more than they love God. You see, you could see the influence of those deceiving spirits in these characteristics. And God doesn't want us to live that way. That's why I'm sharing it with you this morning. Amen. The only protection we have from the delusion that's present in our world is to be intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent to teach us, yes, and to lead us and to guide us. And if you reject him, then you are laying your life wide open. You have absolutely no defense. I mean, that's a hopeless situation. If you just reject the grace of God, then there's nothing else left for you. The devil just going to run over your life. And what would be sad about it is that you don't even know that he's doing it. Going through the motions, living day by day, but don't know that all the while Satan is calling the shots. And we've been delivered out of his hand. We got no business having no dealings with him. We should have, listen here, tell your neighbor, have no dealings with the devil. None. All right, tell them on the other side this time. Say, don't give me a place to the devil. Now you got the power to do that. Praise God. If you focus on doing God's will, then you won't have time to sin. We have to be intimately involved with the Holy Spirit, because an intimate relationship with him will lead to an astounding revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, when I allow the Holy Spirit to teach me, to lead me, to guide me, he's going to give me a revelation of Jesus Christ that just blow my mind, that will keep me on fire. Hallelujah, that will keep me passionate about Jesus, that keep me, I mean, just in awe. And I'm still growing in revelation. You know, recently God gave me a revelation about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne, that's where we're seated with him. Now, I've been knowing these things, but he showed me another side, that the reality of that is real, that our redemption is a reality in heaven. I mean, it's just as real. It's a done deal. I mean, ain't nobody in heaven wondering to my Jesus, did you really do it? No, everybody up there already know it's done. So whatever he said about us here on earth in our faith is real there. And if it's real there, then I can have it here. I just got to find out what he did for me and then take it. And the Lord showed me that it's not a problem of us trying to talk him into helping us and talking him into doing things for us. It's a matter of us receiving what's already been done. It's just a matter of us receiving. It's not us pulling on God. Oh, Lord, please, please. The Lord laid the table. Jesus finished everything that needed to be done. Provided everything you ever going to need in life, then he sat down. Now he said, all right, I'll provide everything you need. Now take it. Take all this grace. The Bible said, take all the grace that I've given to you. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and you will rule and reign in life. So he's already done everything he need to do for us to be victorious, for us to win every conflict. For us to have his wisdom. He's made all his wisdom available to us. All of it. He said, if you lack wisdom, just ask me, but ask in faith, doubting nothing, and it's going to be given to you. There's no reason for you not to have wisdom. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Peace already available. You just got to receive. Even our vision scripture, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. For what reason? Why I want to do all that? That they might receive forgiveness of sins, that they might receive inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith that's in me. He just wants you to receive. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. It's all about receiving. When in Acts chapter 8, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached, and all the people repented of their sins and got baptized in water, and then they sent back to Jerusalem and said, hey, everybody that ain't received the word, received Jesus, and Peter and John came down there, and the Bible said, and they prayed for them. They didn't say, oh, Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, we please pray. Oh, Lord, we pray for them. Oh, Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, please give them the Holy Ghost. That ain't what they prayed. You know what they prayed? The Bible said, and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. God had already gave the Holy Ghost. It's a matter of you receiving. If he could ever get us, and that's what he's doing, he's positioning us to receive if we would just listen to him. If we'll just listen to him, he's positioned us to a place where he can pour into us all that he wants to do for us. Because I'm going to tell you, God's got a big heart for everybody in here. And he wants everybody in here to be blessed. He wants everybody healed. He wants everybody to have more than enough. Right? So he don't want you to be disobedient, because that moves you out of a place of reception. You start receiving from the wrong source. Amen? Now go to John chapter 14. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit, and we have to stay full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you have supernatural information. You have supernatural guidance. Supernatural words come out your mouth. Demonic powers are broken. Amen. When you're led by the Spirit, you start affecting people in the right way. Amen. Amen. You start loving people. You know, the fuller you get, then the more love you ought to have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm most serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now, because they're getting close to God, that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them. Because now they think they're better than you, or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And see, that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace, you got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit, that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness, that kind. See, oh, no, that's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. It's not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings, and you know that you're going to be okay because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
St. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Rita, would you read those verses?
And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. Verse 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Verse 5. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Verse 7. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. Verse 8. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her.
Let the church say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, do what you can. Encourage your neighbor sitting next to you and say, neighbor, do what you can. And if I were back in my old church, I'd say it like this. Do what you can do. Do what you can do. This word, my brothers and sisters, gives us some insight to understanding how ministry is not only a collective reality, but it is also an individual reality. How the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us opportunities to minister and to utilize the gifts, the blessings, the resources that he's made available to us to be able to be utilized in our ministries. One of the things that I think is so important to understand in this day and time is that as we are in our last days, that the Spirit of the Lord has already been promised. He has already arrived. He is already present, and he is no respecter of persons. He is able to use whomsoever he chooses. And it is important to recognize that ministry work is a part of the responsibility of every believer. The word ministry somehow to many connotes a corporate ministry whereby they participate in such a ministry. And that is true partly. But the other part of that is that there is a personal ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to each and every one of us. And it is as varied as each personality is. One of the things that keep many of us from meaningful ministry is the fact that they don't fit in to corporate structured ministry. And so as a result of that, many of them sit on their gifts, their talents, and their callings from week to week and throughout the week because they are not a part of a corporate ministry. But I want somebody to know today that God in these last days is calling you to become active in the personal ministry he is calling you to and has purposed you for. Your ministry may not be to be in the pulpit, to be in the choir stand, to be in the deacon's ministry or the deaconess's ministry. Your ministry may not be to be an usher or a greeter. Your ministry may not be a part of one of the structured ministries of the church, but it does not mean you don't have a personal ministry. As a matter of fact, the greatest ministry that all of us are called to is a ministry of witnessing. You think about how most folk got in the church. They didn't get in the church because I called them. Because here's a reality that most of the seasoned saints know, that shepherds don't produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. Shepherds produce shepherds. So what you need to know is everybody who has come to most churches, either the people have seen the church because it was planted on a corner or on a street where they could see and curiosity called them in, so they believed, but it was the Spirit of the living God calling them to that ministry, or they were invited or witnessed to or ministered to through the week by somebody who belonged to the Lord and was a member of that local fellowship. In other words, if folk don't come to the church 9 out of 10 times, it's because you don't invite them. You know, many times you get on the job and you talk about everything. You talk about how the Cavaliers, you know, lost it to the Warriors and how they just stumped them 4 games and got them out and everything. And King James didn't act kingly and he didn't win and this. And in spite of his team losing and in spite of Brother Curry, there are some who arguably say that King James, Lil K, is arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, basketball player that ever lived. Now, there are some in their season who were the greatest in their season, but they have not accomplished what he's accomplished. And so, you know, here again, he had a personal best while his team lost. Are y'all hearing me here today? So what you've got to understand is that you have a ministry in the midst of the team's ministry that God is expecting you to do wherever he has placed you. There are some people you can reach. God has positioned you, put you in a unique position to minister to some folk that I can't reach from here, that I can't reach from television, that I can't reach from internet, because they may not be watching those things. They may not be listening to the radio, but they will hear you. And God can use you. And you might be scared to talk in front of people, but you'll talk your head off in front of one person. So what am I saying to you? You be sensitive to the Spirit of the living God. Find out where God is calling you to use your ministry. Look at how you flow, where you flow, and recognize that that could very well be a ministry God is using you to not only lift Jesus up, but to bring folk who are lost into the kingdom. Now look at the text, because I want you to see. Mark gives us an interesting illustration here, because there are some things, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John deals with two women who anointed Jesus. One anointed his head and the other anointed his feet on different occasion. In this particular reference, it's dealing with the woman who anointed his head. Now, Mark tells us that they were at Simon the leper's house. And as was the custom, they reclined back when they ate dinner. And as usual, they were served, and those who were considered VIPs or special guests, when they came into the house, their feet were washed. They were embraced with a kiss on either cheek, and their heads were anointed. That was the customary reception of guests, which Luke brings out in the 7th chapter. But Mark doesn't deal with all of this. He talks about, again, being in Simon the leper's house and Jesus being reclined and having dinner. And this woman comes in, who is thought to be Mary. You had several Marys in the Word. And in one occasion, again, they're talking about Mary Magdalene, the woman who had been delivered of demons. And there is another Mary who was as some records refer to, as a prostitute or a harlot. And then, of course, you have the Mary of Jesus, and on and on and on. But here in this case, this woman had an alabaster box, which was a box that was made out of marble-like material. And some say it was a box, and others say it was a jar. But it was a precious, precious container. And once the spikenard, or actually called nard, and they use the word spikenard because this plant was grown in the eastern culture, far eastern, like India. And it was a long, tall spike plant. It was very, very, very thin, but the aroma was very fragrant. And so it was considered a very precious and expensive ointment or oil that was placed in the alabaster box, because the thickness of the alabaster box was able to conceal the scent of the nard or spikenard. then at the top of the jar or the box, it would be sealed with wax to make sure that the fragrance did not escape. And the only problem with that was when you broke the seal, you had to use all of it. Now, this picture actually denotes, because the reference of this spikenard perfume, not perfume, was very expensive, over 300 pennies worth. That was equivalent to more than 300 days of pay, since during that time, a penny was a day's wages or a day's labor. And usually for special occasions only, or for those who were women of the evening, only for the most elitist guest would the spikenard box or jar be broken and utilized on the most highest customers, because it was a scent or fragrance that went out and was so inviting that many folk followed their nose. And they knew that scent was a special and unique scent. And even when they couldn't see, they could smell. And that's how many of those who were of the upper echelon, they were of the escort caliber. They wasn't the loose women walking on the street. They were of the higher level. And so what it is suggesting, that she was a former prostitute who used her wares to beguile men. But having been saved by Jesus, the suggestion is that she put her tools away, never to use them again. And in this opportunity to pull out her alabaster box and anoint Jesus, she thought that she would use her best for someone who had taken her at her most broken state and blessed her. She felt that the best that she could give to Jesus was her spikenard in an alabaster box. And so when she broke that seal and poured it over the head of Jesus and let it ran down his head and down his clothes, etc., she could have stopped, but she knew she wanted him to have not only her best, but her all. And so she poured it all out on Jesus until there was nothing left in the box. And look at the haters sitting around the table. His own men became, the record said, indignant. Indignation rose up in them, and they're wondering, why is this waste done? Why? Well, let me say something to you, my brothers and sisters. This woman knew that this ointment belonged to her. And because it belonged to her, she didn't have to get permission from nobody to use it the way she wanted to use it. And because the profession of old was no longer the profession of new, she then decided from her heart that the best thing she had to give, Jesus was worthy of it. And listen at this. She didn't ask for recommendations. She didn't ask anybody how they felt about it. When she recognized the opportunity, she broke that seal and began ministering to Jesus. And I want you to see some things and understand some things about this. First of all, she came into her ministry when she allowed the Spirit of the living God to use her and what she had for the glory of God. Now, listen at this. Nobody knew, including her, that what